What's going on, everyone? Thank you for joining me on the podcast. Welcome back to the show. Bruce Irving here. I am your host today. My guest is Scott Wiener from Scott's Pizza Tours, Slice Out Hunger, and now Pizza Across America. You can check them out at sliceouthunger.org. Scott joins me on the podcast today. We talk about the state of the pizza industry, what he's working on with Slice Out Hunger, and how you can get involved and get some publicity and do a good deed by donating some pizzas to some local shelters, which really need the help right now. We're in a tremendous time, time that no one has ever seen since the 20s. I hate to say unprecedented because that's a word that I feel is a lot overused, but this is a time that we've never seen before. And pizzerias are the best in the business. In the restaurant industry, pizzeria owners, operators, managers, employees, they're just the best. They're never complaining. They always go to work. They help out the community, and the community depends on them to show up every single day. So Scott's come up with Pizza Across America, a program where we can donate back to these shelters and help them out. And he's looking to get one pizzeria at least in every state in America and Puerto Rico. So if you can help him out, go to sliceouthunger.org and sign up your pizzeria. And we talk about that a little bit on the podcast today. We also talk about other things in the pizza community. We talk about if the Pizza Expo is going to happen. We talk about how Scott got involved with pizza in the documentary that I watched with Scott and why it's important to really follow your dreams. And even though we're in a tough time right now, I don't think there's been a better time in the history of the world to be able to do things that you love and make money doing it. And we talk about that with Scott on this podcast. I really think you're going to enjoy this one. I always love having Scott on the podcast. He's a great pizza mind. He has a tremendous knowledge of pizza history, past and current. And I think that it's always fun to talk to him about what's happening in the pizza world because he just knows so much. And I always learn something every time he joins me on the podcast. So that's what we're talking about on the podcast today. If you haven't yet, go sign up for our mailing list. We send out a newsletter every single week. We've been doing it on Thursdays lately. We're always testing. The thing that I do on the podcast here, and we often talk about this inside of our mastermind group, and we had some really, really good calls the last couple weeks on our mastermind group where we dig deep into reels. We're going to be doing some email marketing challenges. We're going to be doing some TikTok challenges, and we're really going to dive deep and try to leverage these platforms to get exposure organically and maybe with a little ads, but mostly organically. And something that we talked about a lot is testing things out. You hear a lot of, if you're on Facebook or you're on Instagram, you see a lot of these posts scrolling through your feeds of people trying to get you to buy or hire them to promote your business using the next best technique. And I'm holding quotation marks up here if you could watch the video. And there isn't one. It's all about testing. And we talk about this inside of our mastermind group every single week when we get together. Because people have questions like, Bruce, how do you use Reels? Or what hashtag should I use? Or how many pieces of content should I produce for TikTok? Or how many times a week should I be emailing out? And what should I be saying? And I often say to them, listen, you got to test it out on your own. Because I can give you the guidelines, but you have to test it. You come back to the group, we'll talk about it, discuss, tweak, and then go back and implement the tweaks that we talked about. And oftentimes, that's what works. So if you're interested in that, smartpizzamarketing.com/mastermind. We talk about it twice a month, private Facebook group, all that jazz. I kind of got on this because I said sign up for our weekly email that goes out on Thursdays because we used to send it out on Tuesdays, but we're always testing things. I want to make sure that it gets the perfect deliverability and maximize that with the open rates and the click-through rates and the read rates for our sponsors and for you to actually see and get the information that we're sending out on the weekly basis. So yes, we said Tuesdays, but I'm always testing things. If you watch us on social, I'm always testing videos. I'm always testing content on Instagram or TikTok. And that's kind of like what I do here. I want to test things out, see what works, and then report back to you in our mastermind group members as to what works and what they should be doing. So go check out our email, smartpizzamarketing.com/email if you're interested in that. All right, before we get into today's episode, I have to say thanks to Baccio for sponsoring the show. Let me just tell you that not only does Baccio have great cheese, and trust me, I know because I've been using it quite a bit lately. Check out my Instagram, by the way, and you'll see some photos of it for not only pizzas, but for sandwiches. But they also have a Baccio Gold Club program where you can earn money back based on the amount of cheese that you use. There's three different tiers, gold, platinum, and diamond. Plus, Gold Club members get access to the Baccio Marketing Store for promotional items such as pizza box stickers, menus, and so many other things that you can find available for you to use inside the Baccio Marketing Store. They want to help you grow your business because if you grow your business, you buy more cheese. You buy more cheese, you get more money back. It's as simple as that. So if you haven't yet, head over to bocciocheese.com/SPM. You can check out the store. You can request some samples of the products. And trust me, if you use this cheese, you will not regret it. Like I said, Smart Pizza Marketing, go over to my Instagram. You're going to see some photos of the cheese pizzas I've been making and the sandwiches using the Baccio cheese, the Provore. All of the cheese that Baccio has to offer is great. I guarantee it. So again, bocciocheese.com/SPM to get started with Baccio today. If you're looking to market your pizzeria in 2021, you have to contact MailShark. It's got to be your direct mail go-to company. Whether you want to get your menu in the hands of new customers or promote your pizza shop with a postcard, magnet, or one of the hottest direct mail pieces, they have these plastic postcards. MailShark will work with you to come up with the best marketing plan that fits your budget, and that's very important in 2021. MailShark gives pizzerias the ability to spread those mailings and payments out over a weekly schedule. So it doesn't have to be all upfront money. It helps you out, lets you work with them to put those content pieces out and pay for it as you go. Thousands of pizzerias trust MailShark with their direct mail and printing marketing. They are the best in the industry. Give them a call today, 610-621-5116, or you can visit them at themailshark.com/SPM to find out how they can help your pizza shop. They have so many options available. Again, 610-621-5116 or themailshark.com/SPM. All right, thanks to MailShark and Baccio for being a part of the show. Go check them out. You can hear the links right before this audio. Go check them out. Baccio and MailShark, thank you. Appreciate you. And let's get into today's episode with Scott from Scott's Pizza Tours and Slice Out Hunger. It's a good one. I think you're going to enjoy this episode. All right, guys, welcome back to the podcast. My friend Scott is joining me. You know him from Scott's Pizza Tours. He also has a book. I actually saw Scott, believe it or not. Actually, welcome to the show, Scott. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Bruce.
I actually, you know what I did the other day, Scott? I went to my cable box, and this was last week, and I just was like, you know what? I was bored of what was on TV and on demand, and I just like spoke into the remote, pizza. And I just want to see what they had for like pizza shows. And your documentary came up, and I actually watched the documentary that you made. It must have been a couple of years ago, about like how you got started and all that stuff. I thought that was pretty cool.
That's funny. Yeah, I always get random emails from people saying like, hey, I just stumbled across this documentary. What the heck are you?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I thought they did a great job of telling your backstory and like how, you know, everybody in the pizza community knows who you are because you go to the show, you speak at the Pizza Expo and the Pizza and Pasta Show and, you know, the pizza tours. So I thought it was interesting to kind of see like how you got started, because we talk about it, but I've never really seen like the beginning stages and like it talked to your parents and it talked to your brother about how you got into the whole pizza scene. And I thought it was pretty interesting. And the most interesting part for me was that you do what you really love to do. And I think that's very important to show kids. Like, who would have thought that you could have had a career talking about pizza and history as someone who's not a pizzeria owner? And yeah, I think that's amazing.
Totally a bizarre thing. And that's why I'll tell you, it's kind of, that's what happens when you live in New York. There's filmmakers everywhere.
Yeah.
So you're bound to run into somebody who hears what you do and they say, oh, can I follow you around with a camera? And then the next thing you know is it's like, it's all right in front of you. And I don't think I realized what I did for a living, like truly, until they made that movie. And then as somebody's asking me questions and I'm answering them, I'm like, oh, wait a second. I am just a professional pizza eater. Like, that is what I do.
It has to sink in a little bit, right?
Yeah. Well, because I, as you just said, yeah, I don't own a pizzeria. I never have. I probably never will. That's when you tell somebody you're in the pizza business, that's the only job that comes to most people's minds. But this is something totally different. It's sort of like, you know, you don't have to make movies to be in the film business. You don't have to make music to be in the music business. You know, you don't have to make food to be in the food business. This is just a very, very specific niche thing that I do.
Well, you were speaking at an event on that documentary, and you like got up on stage and you're like, I'm a professional pizza eater. And people kind of chuckled at you. But I thought, like, I wanted my kids to watch that, because not that they're going to be professional pizza eaters, but my kids are at the age where one's graduated high school, the other one's getting ready to graduate high school. And a lot of these kids like don't know what to do, and they feel like they have to follow a specific path of, you graduate high school, you go to college, you get a job. But I think your story teaches kids that like you could figure out how to make a living doing what you really like to do. And I think that's very important to for people to see and to watch, especially like kids who are graduating high school or maybe even graduating college, and they're like unsure with their life, what they want to do.
Yeah. It's especially when you're being fed so much right now. Like, I can't imagine being your kid's age right now with, you know, when you flip around like TikTok and like other social media, that it's constantly people screaming at you how successful they are doing some crazy internet business. And it, you know what I mean? Like YouTube videos about like, oh, you can be, I made $10 billion yesterday when I was asleep. And it's like all this pressure for success is a totally different one than the pressure that like my generation experiences of like my parents saying you got to be a doctor or a lawyer.
Right.
This is like, you got to get into e-commerce and you got to have a huge platform by the time you're nine.
You got to have seven funnels going.
You smoke, yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
It's like the pressure now is insane.
So what's it like for you? I know that before, you know, obviously it's crazy for everybody, especially people in the restaurant industry. Well, actually any industry, every industry has kind of been affected in some way or another. Your business was taking people physically on pizza tours for the most part around New York City. You did other stuff and you do a lot of stuff with charity that you're still doing, but that was like your main business. How have you changed, or how has it affected you now? I know in the beginning it was like everything was shut down. Is it still like that for you?
Yeah. Physical tourism is absolutely shot right now. I'm sticking around. I'll be ready when things come back, but they're not going to come back quickly. And there's not going to be a day that I'll say, oh, if I can only wait, get until June 19th, that day we'll be back. So it's refiguring what it is that we do. So instead of like what you just said, which is exactly what I used to do, I run in-person tours of significant pizzerias in New York City. I had to back out the camera a little bit and say, oh, no, that's not what I do. I do pizza education.
Yes.
And so how can I do pizza education in this situation? And that is, how do you use technology, and how do you do, now I'm shipping pizza making kits to people, like raw ingredients, so that they can take my classes with good ingredients with them, and doing all these classes for companies and individuals. And I also splintered off another business that I don't know if I talked to you about this last time we spoke, but I splintered off a whole new business called Pizza Resource Center.
No, we didn't talk about that.
Yeah, it's an online store for pizza nerds. It's got like pizza clothing and equipment for home pizza makers.
What's
but
the
it's
website?
It's pizzaresourcecenter.com.
All right, that's pretty easy to remember.
Yeah. But that's a totally different thing. It was because Scott's Pizza Tours started doing these like online pizza making classes and dough making classes and bread making classes. And everyone in the class would just ask, well, what equipment should I get? Which pizza stone? What peel? Like, tell me what book to buy. And so I said, well, wait a second. I know all the people who wrote these books. I know all the people who make the peels and the baking stones and the steels and the unis and the, why don't I just call them up and put together a website and directly sell all that stuff from the manufacturer?
That's
what Pizza Research Center is.
And you and I talked, I think you and I talked before this happened. I don't know if it was for the pizza summit that we did or the review. I mean, you and I have talked in this podcast like a few times and it's always fun. But I think we talked about maybe off camera about I was suggesting that you do more video and like classes like that. And you're like, oh, I don't really have time. You know, I'm doing all these tours and it was great for you. But now it kind of forced you to go do that.
Yeah, well, I remember one of the first reactions I had to this whole situation was, I think I might have tweeted out something about like, it was a response to that. I always get all these emails saying, oh, you should attend this webinar. And I posted something like, well, I guess I'm going to find out what a webinar is. And then you were the first one to respond. And you were like, yeah, let me know if you want to talk about it. You can use it. And I was like, no, man, I just meant like, I've never watched a webinar. And then you were like, no, you're going to use that technology. And that's when I started doing the classes.
How are they going for you?
I was like, what should I use? And you were like, well, here's what.
Yeah.
They're going great. It's, look, I can't, I can't wait for people to come to New York because it's just not happening. Nobody's traveling. And when I go to pizzerias and I see tourists, I get concerned because it's really better that everybody hold up, and get vaccinated, and let's get through this. But I can still take people to New York virtually, which is why the pizza making classes have been great. And I'm about to launch a winter series of every Sunday evening. It'll be an alternating series of a pizza history class and then alternating with a live visit to a famous pizzeria. So I'll be at a pizzeria streaming live and you can ask questions. You can say, what kind of oven is that? And I'll bring you right up to the oven. And I'll basically get like a full pass to these pizzerias to be in the kitchen with them, showing you what it's like.
You know what you should do? You should team up with those pizzerias and like ship Gold Belly pizzas out to people and say, hey, I'm going to be at this pizzeria on this date. Sign up for your pizza kit and we'll make pizza like in there.
I'm working on it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we have I actually Mike Houck from Tony Bologna's, who I know you spoke with recently. He's been helping plug me into the Gold Belly thing. It's tough because they're so overloaded.
Yes.
If I was a restaurant who could sell something directly, then maybe they would want to talk to me. But this is a little different. Like I would want to have a direct link so that people can get that pizza right through me. And there's some kind of an affiliate code or I don't know, but that's exactly what I'm trying to do. How great. I mean, we're doing DeFara in a few weeks.
Oh my God. That's going to be a huge one.
You should absolutely be eating DeFara pizza while I take you around DeFara.
Especially because that's a pizzeria that even if you don't live in New York, you know.
Exactly.
Like there's
I'm
a lot
trying
of
to do a mix of that.
Yeah.
Places that people would know, places that you might not know, because we're also going to sell it as a subscription.
Oh.
So for you can do all 15 classes for like a discount. Just get a subscription and then we'll send you a link to the video because I'll record each of them. And then you can watch it at your leisure. Or just show up. It's every Sunday at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock Eastern time. One of those times, evening Eastern time. And the idea is like sit back, relax for an hour, and let me take you around a cool pizzeria. You can travel to New York without leaving your couch.
Are you going to record them so if people can't watch them live, they can go back and watch them later?
Exactly.
That's interesting. Yep. So when this is all over, we got to do like some sort of pizza tour in Boston because I feel like Boston has some good pizzerias now. I mean, they've always had a couple of good ones, but I really feel like the Boston pizza scene is coming on more than it has been in a long time. And it's not necessarily in the city of Boston, but outside the outskirts of Boston.
I think there's a lot of great history of pizza in Boston. And every tour has to cover something about history, something about transition, and then something about what's going on today. So Boston would be a great place for it.
We should do one. We should team up when this is all over.
I'm Boston totally in.
All right.
Yep.
So you're working on something
You heard
else.
It here.
Yeah, you heard it here first. And this is coming out in January of 2021. I can't believe I just said that. It sounds weird, but it's 2021, Scott.
Yep, we're here.
So you have something else you're working on, which is in February of 2021, which is Pizza Across America. Explain what that is a little bit.
Yeah, so you and I have talked about the nonprofit that I run, which is Slice Out Hunger. And Slice Out Hunger operates by doing campaigns and events to raise funds and awareness for hunger relief all around the country. And every February, as you all know, February 9th is National Pizza Day. So what better way to celebrate than by having pizzerias donate food to local shelters that are being hit so hard right now? They're always in trouble, but now it's dire. So we're enlisting pizzerias in every state. We want to get a minimum of one pizzeria per state. And they can go to sliceouthunger.org and sign up. And by signing up, you're just saying that you're going to deliver a minimum of 10 pizzas to a local hunger relief shelter. And you can either set that up yourself or you can select to have us set it up for you. That's what Slice Out Hunger does. So we're going to pull it all together and all the deliveries are going to be the week of February 9th. So this makes it possible for us to put a big press push and do some media and, you know, hopefully we'll get some press for everybody in their cities. And we're going to send you a template for like a press release so you can send it out to your local TV and media and, you know, get some coverage for doing what pizzerias do, which is pizzerias are assets to their communities.
Yeah.
They're not, they're businesses, sure. But like, I mean, when I was growing up, like if you were on the Little League team that was sponsored by the pizzeria, you had the best team.
I think if anybody lives in a community, soon as you have any sort of community event, the first business you think of to hit up for sponsorships is the pizza industry.
Yeah, and it's not because pizzerias are suckers. It's because pizzerias know that that's a place where people go with their families.
Yes.
It's a place for peace. It's a place for positivity. And to me, like, that's why I'm into pizza now. That's why I have this job, is I think of pizza as a reset and as a positive. It's like there's nothing else like it. So that's why we're getting all these pizzerias to come together at a time when they're all being hit hard, and we're asking them to give back, which they are.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a little things that we can do to come together as an industry and to show what we're all about, which is why pizzerias are so strong and are getting through this better than any other segment of the food world.
Yeah. What day is February 9th on? Do you know?
It's a Tuesday. It's the Tuesday after the Super Bowl.
That's perfect then. It's going to be a slow time for pizzerias.
Exactly. So when we started doing it, it was 2018 and it was on a Friday. That was rough.
Yeah.
Now I'm so glad. I'm like, 2021, it's a Tuesday. Yes. And this whole thing that we're doing, it's a partnership between Slice Out Hunger, the World Pizza Champions, Jersey Pizza Boys, and the Slice Pizza app. We're all working together to get pizzerias.
Slice Pizza app, sponsor of the podcast.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
There you go.
Shout out to Slice. If you're looking for online ordering and you don't have any, go check out Slice. I think it's slicelife.com.
Yeah, that's it. Slice has been a real big supporter of Slice Out Hunger. And even though we're called Slice Out Hunger and they're called Slice, but we're totally separate organizations, and that confuses people. But yeah, Slice has really been a big supporter for our Pizza Versus Pandemic campaign, which has delivered, geez, at this point, $630,000 worth of pizza to frontline healthcare workers.
That's amazing. So is there any states that you don't have signed up yet?
Yeah, we just launched the sign up last week, so we probably only have a dozen states. So
anybody who's listening to this can be one of the first ones in their state. And everybody, come on, let's go. Let's help out Scott. Let's get some slices of pizzas going to these shelters. Go to, where can they go? Pizza, sliceouthunger.com. If you know, I'm going to share my screen right here, Scott. .org. Here we go. I'm going to share my screen right here. So people can.
I should explain to everybody, Slice Out Hunger is a volunteer-run nonprofit. So, I run it, but it's something that I do. This is such a weird phrase to say, but like, I do it in my spare time. That's not really accurate because it's not. I mean, no, this is what I do because I'm passionate about it. And it's a small group of us who work. We have one person who's a part-time paid person. And besides that, everybody's just a total volunteer. Wow. So when you sign up, I will be helping set you up with a place to deliver your pizza if you need that help.
That's amazing. So go sign up, sliceouthunger.org. There's a button there and you can do pizza across America, sign up there. And then you can either, like Scott said, do it yourself, or you can have them help you kind of figure out where you're going to deliver those pizzas to. And every state, doesn't matter where in the state you are, you'll figure out a place for them to deliver to.
Every state, every province, every territory, everything. Puerto Rico, you're in on this.
Puerto Rico too. All right.
Yeah, dude, come on.
I know.
Everything across, it's pizza across America. And I mean, we should have specified the United States of America.
Yeah.
Because we're technically not doing this in South America or in Canada. But anyway, we're a US-based organization. So everything we do is across the United States. But heck, if you want to make a delivery and you're in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, do it. Let me know. We'll put it on the website. Why not?
When did you start this?
Slice Out Hunger started back in 2009. And then we started doing pizza across America with Carmine Testa and Michael and Nikki Testa, Jersey Pizza Boys, back in 2018. And that year we had like 250 pizzerias signed up.
Wow. That's pretty crazy. Amazing. How did you get the word out? Just people just spreading the word organically?
Just organically. Pizza Today put up an ad for us at that time. They probably would. We're probably too late to get. Well, I know we're too late to get the ad up right now, but Pizza Today will definitely be supporting it and tweeting about it. And, you know, all the pizzerias who are the ones who would be big supporters of their communities are the people who care enough to do things like listen to your show and follow pizza makers around the country. And, you know, I think the word gets out to exactly the right people, which are, you know, the folks who are excited about stepping up and doing a delivery because they care about their communities.
Yeah, and it's part of a good cause too. Like, your overall, like, the pizza industry is great. Like, there's so many people that do amazing things, and some of them don't even get recognition for it, and they do it anyway. They just do it because they think, and then they do it because they're part of their community, and pizzerias are people who love their community. And I think it's amazing. I think pizzerias are the best. They always help the community. They're always part of the community. And I just think that I'm grateful that I've been part of the pizza community for so many years now.
Yeah, it's wild. When you first started, like, how old were you when you first got into the pizza industry?
My first job as in the pizza industry, I was 15. Oh, maybe I was, no. So technically, I worked at this restaurant. It's called Paparazzi. I don't think it's in existence anymore here. And I was a busboy. My mom was a waitress there. And I was a busboy, and I was 13, and I lied. And I was supposed to be 14, but I lied, and I said I was 14, even though I was 13. And I was just a busboy, cleaning up tables. So they serve pizza, so technically that's my first job. But, like, my first real job making pizza was at Pizzeria Regina in it was in Burlington location. I was 16. That's when I first got paid to make pizza for a living.
That's so cool.
It was
cool. And when you were doing that, did you have any idea? Eventually, when you became an owner, was that a surprise to you that the industry is the way it is?
It wasn't like it is now when I was the owner. Like in the 90s and 2000s, it was. I don't know. I feel like I'm more part of the pizza community now that I'm not in the I'm not an owner than I was when I was an owner. You know, when I was an owner, I was operating, you know, it was long days. I was like head down doing the work. And where we were in the Boston area, it wasn't like it is now. The internet obviously wasn't what it is now. So it wasn't easy to share information that way. And you didn't share or talk to people as openly about what you do and share your secrets in marketing tactics with everybody like they do now. It was very much like you're competing against them and you don't want to see anything bad happen to them, but you're trying to like outdo them. That's what it was like in the 90s and 2000s when I was like really operating. I don't want to say 90s because I'm not that old. You know, I was like 18 in the 90s, but 2000, I say 2000 to 2015 was my run.
Yeah, man, it's a whole different world now. I'd say, you know, for anybody who's listening, who's thinking about getting into the pizza world, the answer is yes. It's awesome. A lot more work than you'll think it is, but there's such a supportive community for it.
I think it was easier back then, right? Because pizza was cheaper, but there wasn't as much competition, and you know, it was a different time back then. You know, minimum wage was a lot less back then than it is now. The regulations were a lot less back then than they are now. That being said, there's a lot more information and easily accessible information now about running on a successful pizzeria or learning from other people. You can just pick up your phone and learn from someone now, whereas back then you'd have to like go to the pizza expos to get the information you can get now, and you never really have to go if you don't want to. You can get all that information online. So it's got its goods and bads, right? Like back then it was a lot less technology and it was less expensive, and now it's more expensive, but there's more information in education than, so it's, I can't say it's easier now or easier then. It's just, it's the same, just different. If that makes any sense.
It doesn't, but I don't think it has to.
Yeah.
I don't think it's, this is all supposed to make
it. I feel like if I opened a pizzeria today, it would be easier for me, just because I have that knowledge of operating back then, and I have the knowledge of the technology available today to do what I would do to run a pizzeria.
Mm.
But it's interesting.
There's a lot going on, man.
Yeah, it's an interesting time for sure. Funny thing is, I never went to a pizza expo or a pizza pasta show until I started this podcast. Like when I was operating, I never went. I just never could go. I never could get out of the shop to go.
Yeah, you said you had your head down. You were doing the work.
Yeah.
Which is that's the hardest thing which is why a podcast like yours is great, because somebody can be doing the work and then taking in the information.
That's why I started the podcast, because I wanted to talk to you guys like you or Tony Gimignani or John from Metro Pizza. And you know, I wouldn't be able to send an email. I mean, they probably would have responded, but in my brain, I was like, I'm not going to send them an email. They're not going to talk to me or get on a phone call and talk to me for 30 minutes. But if I have a podcast, they will. And I can ask them any question I want. And under the circumstances of it being a podcast that other people can listen to and I can learn.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head right there about so many people are afraid to reach out to somebody because they think that they're on some plateau. But, you know, people like John and Tony are two of the most open people. Have you ever seen a post that Tony Gimignani didn't comment on that was about pizza?
Not that he was tagged in or he was in a part of it. No.
I don't know how he does it.
I don't either. And, you know, I get a lot of emails too. And anybody who's emailed me, I apologize. Only because I suck at writing and I hate emails. But it's not that I don't want to respond. You're much better off hitting me up on like Facebook or Instagram direct message or Twitter. And I'll respond there because it's quick.
See, that's what's also hard is that like there's all these places to communicate and it's hard to keep track. So I know for me, I'll forget about Facebook messages for months. And then I'm like, oh, oops, did you get to sign up for that tour? Like, yeah. You know, it's just, or I'll think like, where did that person contact me? Was that a Twitter direct message or was that Instagram? It's like,
you got to find.
So for me, it's email is actually the best.
Yeah. I think, you know what? That's a perfect segue into this, you know, because I get asked a lot like, hey, should I use, like, we talked about Twitch before we got on this podcast. You're like, hey, should I get on Twitch? And I think you have to look at who you're trying to reach, what your bandwidth is, and what you prefer to use as communication or a tool to get a message out there. You don't have to be everywhere. I think you need to like really select which ones you prefer to use and which ones your customers are on, and then just do that. And as long as everybody is aware, like everybody who's listening to the podcast now knows Scott loves email. So email Scott if you want to get a hold of him.
Yeah.
And just do that.
I will. Or Instagram message. That's my number two for sure.
So when do you think you'll be back physically doing tours? How long do you think it'll be? Is that a plan to you? Do you think you're going to pivot and not do those anymore? Or you really want to get back to those?
Listen, there's nothing I would love more than to be doing physical tours.
Yeah.
That's what I really love doing. The reality situation is there's no way to put a date on a calendar. I do have a schedule on my website for live tours starting in April. I don't know if those are going to happen. People can sign up and then we'll figure out when we get there. But I also think that the idea of pivoting is a funny thing because, well, I don't see my business doing a straight pivot and changing direction, because that's what pivoting means, is changing direction. But I do see what we do stepping back and morphing a little bit. So I never anticipated doing pizza making classes online, and I actually don't want to do that for the long term. It's like a fun thing for now, but that comes with people wanting ingredients, which now I'm shipping and packing ingredients and shipping them all over the country, and things have changed. So I'll be constantly changing for the foreseeable future. That's the plan.
I think everybody is. Until we have a clear path of exactly when we can kind of get back to normal, whatever that normal is. Because by the time, you know, we get back to a supposed normal, people are going to be in this pattern that they've been in for a long time. And I feel like people's lives are going to be so changed over the course of 12 to 24 months, however long it takes, that like that's going to be their new life and their new way of life. They're not going to remember what it was like before this.
Oh, yeah. And I think people have this bizarre theory that there is going to be a day where there is like, today we've arrived at the new normal, but like, it's not going to be like that. Like what you're in right now, that's what it is. There's no waiting. There's no like, oh, let's hang out. Let's just like stick our head in the sand for 10 months. It's like, no, this is it. And that today's normal will be different from next week's normal, but never is it just going to be one plateau. It's if you're thinking that right now, you have to stop thinking about that and realize that like today you got to be doing something that's going to work for you right now. And as far as you can project, which is 1 week.
Yes.
I don't think you can plan more than a week.
I don't know if that you can.
Just being realistic.
You can, but who knows if it's going to go that way.
Listen, man, I'm trying. I got stuff on the schedule. I've got like a crazy schedule of stuff through the winter just because I'm throwing everything at the wall.
Right.
But one thing I'll say is, you know, I don't know if I've ever been busier. But I also and it's an exciting thing to be busy doing new things and experiments. But that I think that is the new normal.
Do you think the Pizza Expo will happen in June?
No.
You don't think it will?
I think there's a 0% chance.
Wow. I think a lot of people were hopeful that it would.
Oh, I'm very hopeful. Listen, I don't think a day goes by that I don't flip by a picture in my phone or on my laptop of like a Pizza Expo and then totally lose like all the oxygen from my lungs. Cause I would love to be there. I don't think it's happening in June. I hope to see you there. I truly do.
We're going to do interviews at the Forza Forney booth. If we're like we did last time, if you're there, so you're gonna have to join me in live.
I love it. You know I'll be there. You know what? Even maybe we'll just do it outside. Maybe we'll just all be hanging out outside,
They
10 feet away from each other.
should just build a tent outside that parking. There's a parking spot there at the Expo Convention Center that's pretty large. They should just put a couple tents out there and make a makeshift small one, but outdoors. It's Las Vegas, you can be outdoors.
Exactly. Although we'll see, Las Vegas right now is a little bit of a rough spot.
Yeah. How hot does it get there in June? Have you ever been there in June?
I never have, but it's like it's hot when we go in March.
Yeah.
So June's gonna really put that to shame.
Yeah, we'll
We'll
see.
see. Again, hopefully we'll find out. I don't want to be a total naysayer here, or a wet blanket or anything, but like I would certainly love for that to happen. But without getting too deep into it, our country's not doing a great job rolling out vaccines.
Yeah.
We got to be in a place where we're vaccinated to get there.
I think this has taken a lot longer than anybody really thought it would last. Like, I think people thought, like, when it first happened, a couple months we'll be through this, and it's almost a year now, and we're still not even close.
Yeah, it's funny. None of us had any experience being in a pandemic before.
It hasn't happened since the 20s.
I know, that's what I'm saying. That like this is all new to all of us. So when I thought, oh great, this will be like a few weeks to just like get some work done and get ready, the
Yeah.
way I always wished I would have like time off to do, and then it turned into the opposite. It turned into, but look, this is where we're at, and we're pizzerias are doing a great job of figuring out how to do things. And every month when I write my column in Pizza Today, I'm always trying to figure out new angles to share with everybody about what do I see pizzerias doing to stay afloat. And to keep themselves up, and every time I listen to your show, it's a different person saying what crazy thing they've started doing, and it's inspiring, totally inspiring. Even to someone like me, who I don't own a pizzeria, that stuff it doesn't just stick with pizza, and it doesn't just stick with restaurants. It's like there's a lot of ingenuity going on right now because when you've painted yourself into a corner, you got to figure out a way to get to the clean spot.
Yeah. How do you come up with your
No other
ideas for
option.
your articles?
I wait until like 2 weeks after they're due, and then I go for a bike ride, and then I think, well, I have to write it in the next 2 hours before Jeremy White emails me asking for it. And then usually I write it in the next 2 hours, and then I get an email saying, hey, where's the column? And then I'm like, oh, great, good timing. I
That's
just finished
amazing.
it.
You just
So I'm,
randomly, random thoughts?
yeah, random thought. Well, it's usually, look, it's the column, the whole idea is, it's from the perspective of somebody who's a professional consumer, which is what I am.
Right.
And what do I notice people are doing that I think is interesting and that more people should know about? And that's it.
Is it hard to do that now, considering you can't visit pizzerias as much as you used to?
It's a lot harder to do that from where I'm sitting
Yeah.
because the first couple of months it was easy because what are people doing with this crazy COVID situation? And then now it's like, all right, we're over that. I know I never want to write another column that says, in these trying times, what are,
Right.
like let's get past that and just figure out what are people doing to take in some money. And I'm writing one right now that's about, I've written before about merch, but I'm writing specifically about like t-shirt and how to deal with merch and fulfillment and that kind of thing. It's not really how to deal with it because it's a column, it's not an article, but it's more like,
How to do it?
oh, here are some ways. Oh, some people stock their shirts. Some people do ship on demand. Some people do that. I'm just trying to spread the word about what's available.
Speaking of shirts, I got one on from Fort Zaffoni, Alberto. At Fort Zaffoni sent me this one. It's like a pizza chart. It's like an eye chart,
Yeah,
but for
Forza,
pizza.
wait, Forza Pizza, Forza Pizza.
Forza Pizza. Fort Zaffoni is a sponsor of the podcast. Forza Pizza sent me this shirt. Thank you to
I love it.
Alberto. You know, you get sent shirts all the time. Here's an idea, and I think this is what people should do. I think people should definitely sell merch, but what they don't realize is that social media is a powerful tool to build an audience outside of your market that you could have a customer come to you in. Tony Baloney, Mike from Tony Baloney's, does a fantastic job of this. He's built these Zoom classes, and I know you work with Mike, and his audience is nationwide because he's built up his social media not just in the market of where he gets customers from, but across the country. And I think if people look at social media, and I get asked all the time, Bruce, how do I find local people on social media? And I'm like, this is how you do that. But how about building your brand up so you could sell other things to people who may not be able to come in to get a pizza because they live too far away, or you can't deliver to them because they're outside of the delivery range, but they are still interested in your brand because they discovered you on Instagram or TikTok or Facebook or any of those things. Mike does a great job at that.
Totally. Yeah. It's no longer is your consumer base just your delivery radius.
Only for pizza it is, but not for other things like you're doing.
Oh, for the food, but not even. I would even say, well, because so many people are doing Gold Belly or Ship Direct. Like, so you can totally, if somebody's willing to pay for shipping your pizza across the country, then you should be willing to sell it to them if you can put together the operation to do that, which is not easy. But again, people like Mike, like DeFara, like Keste, you know, they've got huge operations set up just for shipping a frozen pizza. Yeah. Lou Malnati's been doing that for years.
Yeah, he's a good example of that. Yeah, for sure. He's doing that before this happened.
Oh, totally. Oh, my goodness. They had a big business doing it. And I wrote something for Pizza Today about how so many pizzerias were jumping into the frozen world. And then it was before COVID. And now it's like, frozen is keeping some people alive. Yeah. Like DeFara easily sells more pizza frozen than they do fresh.
Wow. Right now. Do they make their frozen pizza in the kitchen where they make the regular pizzas too?
Yeah. They have two locations and they make it in the location that has more space.
Got it. Because one of the locations in Brooklyn's tiny, right?
Yeah, they're not making the frozen pizza there.
Dude, not a lot of space in there.
No. The other space, they're in a market and the market is closed. Nobody else is there. So they have a huge amount of space.
Oh wow. Any pizzerias that you look forward to getting back to that you haven't been able to visit since this happened?
You know what? I've been thinking more about, it's funny. The other day I listed to somebody, I was like, yeah, I've barely been to any pizzerias in the past 9 months. And I think I did list like 10 or 12, but that's very, very few for me. I'm more excited about going to the places that I haven't ever been to, like the new ones that have opened. There's a place in like way upper Manhattan called Pizza by Lucille's that I've always wanted to check out.
Really?
And then there's this place, Bellucci's, that just opened in Queens. I really want to check them out because a friend of mine owns it. So it's more about places that I want to support that are new.
Opened it during this time?
Yeah, Pizza by Lucille's was open for a year or two before, but Bellucci's opened like a week or two ago.
I wonder if those people who open now, I've known a lot of pizzerias who've opened in the last 9 months. I wonder if they're going to have like an advantage when this is over, because they know how to do both. They know how to work in an environment which you can't have customers in and when you can have customers in. So I feel like they may have an advantage when it comes to like what you're doing, classes or frozen pizza, because that's how they started.
Yeah, I do feel like it will only get easier for them.
Yeah. We'll have to see in a couple of years. We'll have to research.
Who knows? Who knows? I could be totally off on that. It's nice now that you can't have somebody come in, so you have a little bit more working room, but rather have that space filled with people.
Yes. I've known a lot of pizzerias who have either taken away whatever small dining room. Like a lot of pizzerias that I know don't have a huge dining room. They have like maybe 10 booths. So if you take in Boston, it's only 25% capacity. So if you have 10 booths, that's only two booths that you can have people. I know a lot of them who have taken away their dine in completely and just remodeled their kitchen to do more space for cooking and just completely takeout. And even when this is over, they're just like, I'm just going to do takeout and delivery only anyway.
Yeah, I think that's smart. There's a place by me called Weeded that really so early on, they gutted their whole seating area, moved their kitchen larger, like you're saying. And because they figured, look, even if this only lasts a year, it's better to have that space so they can make salads and make other foods rather than just the one tiny kitchen. And then for New York, you know, like a New York tiny kitchen is like a Boston tiny closet.
Right. Yeah.
It's really wild.
So where can people go if they want to join the Pizza Across America? Where should they go? If they want to say hello to you, Scott, where should they go?
Best thing to do is go over to sliceouthunger.org, click on campaigns, and you'll see Pizza Across America right there. And you can just sign up for the mailing list if you just want to see what we're all about. We have emails all the time. We have a whole chef series coming up. We're going to have a pizza class series coming up for donors. And to reach out to me, just go to scottspizzatours.com. You can follow Scott's Pizza Tours on Instagram and Twitter. And, you know, I'm always up for a pizza chat all the time. So
you are.
And tune in for, we've got these classes coming up on Sundays, pizza making classes every weekend. Tons of fun stuff to keep you occupied and distracted.
You share a little bit of your pizza classes on Instagram. They look like they're a whole lot of fun.
Oh, it's a blast because people sign up thinking like, oh, I'm just going to learn how to toss dough in the air and then like put a pizza in the oven. But it's really specific and nerdy and scientific, but like being, but in a fun way. It's like a Bill Nye situation. You know what I mean?
You do a good job of that. One thing I have to say, I've been trying to make starter at my house, like dough starter. I'm not super successful at it yet. I'm still working at it. But I use your, Anthony Falco shared an Instagram story or a highlight on his Instagram about how to do it. And you did as well. And I always refer back to yours when I try to figure that out.
Cool. It's pretty simple. The reason that it might fail is if your kitchen's too clean.
Yeah.
That's like one of them. And, or, you know, just because you need the yeast that live in the air and on your walls, you need that.
Does it matter what flour you use for the starter to get it started?
I don't think it does, but you want to avoid bleached and bromate or bleached flour. Bromate doesn't really matter so much, but it's also really good to use like some whole wheat. You want more active enzymes going on so you get more action. So if you can get some fresh milled flour, then use that.
Yep. Does anybody reach out to you and be like, hey, can you send me some starter?
Nobody has yet, but I actually am prepared to send starter. I've dried out my starter. I have a bunch of like starter flakes I've dried out my starter. And you can wake that up by adding some water and flour. Totally works. So I might start having that available at the Pizza Resource Center website.
I might have to check that out when we get off of this. If you ever offer that, let me know.
I'll send you some starter. Well, you'll be a test, you know?
All right, well,
we'll see what the USPS thinks about a little flakes of starter in an envelope.
Hopefully they don't like look at it through an X-ray machine. Maybe they won't even notice.
They'll be so confused. They'll be like, this is very weird, but like, whatever.
That's true.
It's from Scott.
Listen, they'll be like, yeah, it's 2020. What are you going to expect?
21
now. That's right. I have to get used to saying that. I'm not used to saying that yet.
We're in it.
All right, Scott, thank you so much. Guys, we'll link up everything Scott talked about in the podcast over at smartpizzamarketing.com. That's our home base over there. So Scott's sliceouthunger.org, Scott on Instagram, Scott Pizza Tours, and everything that we talked about on the podcast today over at Smart Pizza Marketing. You can just type in search Scott, but he's been on the show a few times, so you'll have to look at the latest one that he's going to be on for 2021. Scott, thanks, my man. It was great talking to you again, my friend.
Been a total pleasure, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you, Scott, for joining me on the podcast. Again, guys, go check out sliceouthunger.org. Sign up your pizzeria or restaurant if you're in a state. Maybe you're going to be the only one in a state. Like Scott mentioned, he has a press release for you to help you get a little bit of exposure in the news media, as well as do a good deed and help out. We know all of you listening to the podcast are looking for ways to grow and help out and be part of the community. And this is a fantastic way. And if you can support Scott in his endeavor to kind of feed people across America, this is a great way to do it. So go check it out, sliceouthunger.org. Thank you, Scott. And we'll look up everything in the show notes over at smartpizzamarketing.com. Just look for Scott. He's been on the podcast a few times, so you may have to search through episodes, but this is episode number, let me get my notebook out here. This is episode number 324 of the podcast. So just go look for that on the smartpizzamarketing.com website. If you want to say hello to me on Instagram, I am at TheBruceIrving and at SmartPizzaMarketing. I have to say, we've been doing a lot of experimenting with reels on our Smart Pizza Marketing Instagram profile page. And I have to say, we've been getting a ton of traction. We've had some reels. And I have, so for context, I have 18,300 followers as I recorded this podcast in 2021, January. We have had some reels get over 150,000 views and 7,000 to 10,000 likes on a reel using the platform Reels on Instagram. So I only have 18,000 followers, which means if we get 150,000 views, that means a lot of people are discovering us through those reels and following back. Our follower count has gone from 15,000 to 18,500 in about 3 months because of this exposure. They're pushing us in front of the Discover page and tab, and we're getting in front of people who we normally wouldn't get in front of people. So if I give you one piece of advice, use Reels. If you want to know how to use Reels, check out our Instagram challenge we have available, smartpizzamarketing.com/Instagram or thebrewserving.com/Instagram. If you want to check out our Instagram challenge, you can do it on your own. 30 days gives you videos on exactly what you should be doing, how you can implement it, and gives you exactly the content that you should be posting, as well as what hashtags, what times, direct message templates, all that stuff is in the 30-day challenge. you can go check it out over there. But I highly suggest you do that because right now is the time. Instagram is pushing these platforms and reels, and it really wants to get those out there. This may change if you're listening to this in 2022. But if you're listening to this when it comes out, I highly recommend you double down on Instagram right now and reels because they want you to, and they're pushing your content out there organically. All right. Again, Bruce@smartpizzamarketing.com if you have a question about the podcast or anything. And we'll see you next week right here on the show. Thank you guys so much for hanging with me another week.